And welcome to the first ever Jeremy and Ryan show. I'm Jeremy Pearl, alongside Ryan McKenna. How's it going, Ryan?
It's great, man. Great. It's a beautiful morning here in Toronto. It's a nice little high of 7 degrees expected. So, yeah, it should be pretty good. You're up early for a late night. We're at Sportsnet all last night.
Yes, that's where I hopefully will continue to work.
Well, let's hope so.
But we will be bringing you all of the MLB news that is fit to print this season. We will discuss, you know,
fit
potential.
To air, man.
Sorry?
You said fit to print. This is radio.
Well, all news that is suitable for any type of media outlet in the Major League Baseball season. And we're going to start off with a nice season preview. Break down AL East, NL West, every division that is of substance.
All the divisions, we got you covered.
And we're going to start with the AL East, and Ryan's got a good friend, our guest, Adam Connolly. Welcome.
Adam Connolly, straight from Borden-Carlton Gateway Arena. Join him, stop by Gateway Arena. He'll fill you in for some swamp water. Isn't that right, Adam?
Oh, yeah, we got the best swamp water you can find.
Jeremy, do you know swamp water
is? I wasn't even going to ask.
Okay, so it's pretty much like, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but it's pretty much like all the different pops that you can get all into one cup. Is that correct?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, you get the old fountain pop machine going, you get a little splash of each one, and you never know what you're going to get.
It is a PEI favorite.
It is indeed.
All right, so Adam, you are no stranger to Sports Superstation. Adam formerly joined us in the past for the Hot Corner whenever I hosted the segment, but then we realized that my voice sucks by itself, so we brought in Jeremy, and then we're bringing in you, so gonna have a little bit of fun. That sound good?
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, so Adam, we're gonna start off with an AL East preview for our season preview show here on the Jeremy and Ryan show. Also, just a quick note before we begin, check us out on Twitter. Check out Jeremy, he's jpearl31. I'm ryguy11, and Adam is Adam Connolly, if I am not mistaken. Is that correct?
Adam S. Connolly, yeah.
All right, well, sort of a big deal. All right, so a season preview show in the AL East. So the Blue Jays, they made some big off-season moves last year, Adam. So how would you assess Alex Anthopoulos' performance going into 2013?
Oh, I think he's done a great job, really. I know a lot of Jays fans around here that are pretty excited. He spent a few years building up the minor league system into one of the better systems that they had. I don't know whether they necessarily got tired of waiting, whether they saw that some of the other eight teams in the AL East might have been in a bit of a downturn or a little combination of the two. But they ripped off a few nice trades to pick up some solid players by using their prospects and combine that with a couple of good free agent signings. And this is certainly the best Jays team that we've seen probably in 20 years.
It's true. It's interesting because, I mean, there hasn't really been this much excitement about the Jays since their 93 World Series team. That players are being compared to them like the heroes that were. And Jays fans of a different generation have never seen a team of this quality. Do you think that the players they have now with Jose Reyes, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, do you think they can repeat the success of the early 90s teams?
The talent is certainly there. A few questions, namely with the Jays, I think it mostly falls back to injuries, which is something that all teams can deal with. But if they're healthy, if Josh Johnson and Batista and Rand, some of these guys that have had some injury problems in the past, if they can all put it together, or at the very least, knock them all on the DL at the same time, if they both are bruised through it the season as well, there's nothing, going to miss months at a time. They absolutely can. They got a great lineup. They're stacked pretty much top to bottom. They got some good speedsters. They got a lot of power in the middle. The rotation is solid and it's deep. To have Brandon Morrow as your number four starter is foolish, really. The only slight question I might have at this moment is the bullpen, but that's something that you might be able to piece together through with the year. So yeah, really, the sky's the limit for Toronto, I think, this year, absolutely.
But one thing, Adam, you said injuries could be a factor, and yes, they could be. But I think one thing this year compared to last year, especially, is they have the depth now. they have the guys that can, you know, replace in the starting rotation. They have the Kyle Drabecks and the Drew Hutchinsons, and they have the guys in the minors that can come up and step up if in case of injury.
No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And having some depth is something that the Jays haven't had for a while. So, you know, an untimely injury or two has really taken them out. So, well, you don't want to see your big guns go down for any length of time, of course. This would be a year more so than the past that they may be able to recover, or it may not be quite as big of a deal as it would have been the last few years. So, no, I'd agree with that.
Now, people have been having a lot of questions about the Jays, mainly the bullpen. Can they stay healthy? We've seen superstar teams work, like, not be able to work. So far, their biggest problem of the offseason has been Ricky Romero. And while that's a shame to a lot of Toronto fans because Ricky is well-loved here, if your number five starter not pitching well is your biggest concern, that's probably a good sign for the season. But at the same time, what do you think of Ricky Romero? Will he be able to get back to the major leagues and pitch like his 2011 self?
It's a really interesting question, and Ryan and I briefly discussed this online here yesterday, I believe it was. I'm a little bit skeptical, to be honest. You know, I wish him the best, absolutely. You know, he's shown, I think he's got 50 wins in his career, so I mean, that's pretty impressive in the AL East. Considering some of the teams he's had with him in the past, so the talent is certainly there, and we've seen pitchers in the past that kind of have had some bumps in the road and recuperated. Now with his, I think probably mostly mental. So it's just really, you know, whether he's able to snap out of that or not. You know, some guys are able to do it, some guys aren't. He started off well last year. The second half of the season was a nightmare, obviously. And the spring hasn't been well. It wasn't quite as bad. It hasn't been real, real good. One thing about the move that I like that the Jays did is if they're considering doing this, I definitely think it makes a lot more sense to do it now at the start of the year rather than wait for him to have a few bad starts and do it and then send him down. I think that'd be harder on a psyche to do it, you know, in May. And also, if the Jays are going to be battling for a playoff spot this year, you know, they can't really afford to have three or four or five starts of his where they want him to work it out, because, you know, some people tend to forget that games in April count for the same amount as the games in September, so you don't want to throw any games away. It's hard to say. I think that he'll definitely get a shot somewhere. If he's not able to turn it around in the farm system with the Jays, I'm sure another team might take a chance on him down the road. But, you know, I don't think that'll definitely be a little ways off before they have to worry about that.
But I think, actually, Alex Anthopoulos put it really good. You know, if you have a guy struggling like Romero has been, you can't throw him in against the New York Yankees and have him throw six straight breaking balls so that, you know, he has that groove again. You know, it's almost good that he is being sent down to A-ball in order to get those repetitions and in order to get his confidence back.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I meant. Yeah, I mean, to throw him in there against big league lineups, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the Jays' schedule is at the start, but, you know, if he ends up going up against, you know, the Angels or the Tigers or some of these teams that's the big bumpers and then, you know, gets thumped pretty good in his first few starts, it's only going to hurt. It's only going to hurt the psyche a little bit. Of course, the reverse side of this, by sending him down to A-ball, if he can't work it out quickly, if he starts getting roughed up, if he starts walking some guys down at that level, obviously that's going to shake him up a little bit too, because, I mean, then the thoughts creep in, well, if I can't get these A-ball hitters out, how am I going to get major league hitters out? But, you know, hopefully it won't come to that, and at the very least, it won't hurt the Jays' major league team if he does struggle to start things off.
Absolutely. Now let's turn things over to your boys, the Boston Red Sox. You're a big Boston Red Sox fan. And they had a bit of an interesting offseason. They signed Ryan Dempster. They got Shane Victorino. So they have a few interesting pieces. But one thing that is really interesting is the emergence of Jackie Bradley Jr. We had a Twitter question in from my brother Patrick. We got it on Twitter last night, and he wanted to ask you this. What are your expectations for Bradley? Does he make the big league club, and what kind of impact does he make?
As a Sox fan, you know, it's obviously been a rough year and a half for us. So someone seeing the likes of Jackie Bradley coming up is certainly very exciting. He's a guy that we've had high hopes for as Red Sox fans. I don't think too many, myself included, expected it to happen this soon. But, you know, by all indications from what I've been reading, and I mean, the guy's batting almost 500 in spring training, it's almost pretty tough not to have him make the team. You know, we know guys like Ellsbury have had some injury issues in the past, so is it going to do him a whole lot of good to send him down? You could argue back and forth, I guess. My opinion is that he will make the team. You don't like to put too much pressure on a rookie, especially in a big market like Boston, but, you know, he's certainly shown flashes of being able to hit. He's got a little bit of power. I think that'll develop as he moves along. He's great defensively, so, I mean, you don't have to worry about him there. And like I say, he's hitting the close to 500 this spring, so expectations are pretty high. You know, you'd like to think he'd be probably a top three favorite for rookie of the year, maybe, if he makes the team and sticks. So definitely someone to look into for sure.
Now, he's drawing comparisons to Jacoby Ellsbury. What kind of player would you compare him to?
I think Ellsbury is probably as good a comparison as any. You know, Ellsbury is a guy that relies a lot on his speed and a lot on his defense. Good leadoff hitter, which I think is where Bradley will be eventually full-time. Doesn't have a lot of power, but he's kind of got some sneaky power where he might be a guy that might hit 10 home runs in the season. I know Ellsbury had a big year there a couple of years ago where he had 30, but other than that, he's kind of been around that same mark. So I think that's probably as good a comparison as any. It's easy to make as a Sox fan because Ellsbury we've seen plenty of in the last number of years. So that's probably where I go there.
So this division has been considered one of the best, if not the best, in baseball for quite a while. You know, you have the powers like the Red Sox and the Yankees, but lately you've had the Rays kind of sneak up there, and even the Orioles last year, and now that the Jays have amassed as much talent as they have, people are really struggling to pick the order of this division, saying, you know, the Yankees could finish first or they could finish last, and this division's really unpredictable to pick at this point in the season. How do you see it ending up? Who's on top?
It's funny you mention that because as I was kind of doing a little bit of prep work for the show here, I try to piece together a bit of an order. And like you say, it's really, really difficult. I think I put, with, you know, relative confidence, the Jays at number one. You know, with the additions they've made and the lineup and rotation they've got experience. Not 100% convinced Gibbons is the guy, but, you know, the Jays there, and Anthopoulos knows more than I do, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. So I would put Toronto at number one. And then where it gets tricky is the next four. I think that you know, you could almost put the four names in a half and go in any order. I think the Yankees, who are always kind of near the top, are really going to struggle this year. They had some big injuries with Granderson and Teixeira to start the season off, and A-Rod, of course. Jeter's going to start on the DL. You don't know what Rivera's going to be able to do coming off the surgery. You know, Sebastian's pretty solid on the hill, but, you know, how many seasons can a guy throw 250 innings with his arm falling off?
You mean you don't think they're going to go all the way with Lyle Overbay?
Any trouble. The rotation is very thin. Kuroda's not bad, but Hughes is already hurt. So the Yankees don't really impress me a whole lot. I think the Red Sox will be much better than last year, although better than a 69-win team doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. I definitely think they'll be hovering around 500, you know, maybe 84, 85 wins. Probably not enough to get into the playoff race, but certainly improved. With Baltimore, I'm not convinced. I need to see another season before I really back them. They won, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I think 27 or 28 one-run games last year, which is almost impossible to do again.
Absurd.
So, the rotation is very young. They don't have a ton of depth, so I'm not convinced they'll be able to stay where they're at. So I can see them falling back a bit. And Tampa Bay is an enigma. You never know what you're going to get with them. They're very young. Obviously, they traded Shields. He was kind of their big gun, aside from Price. So their pitching staff is going to be a little bit thinner. They got some good young players in return, but Myers is going to start the year in the minors, I think. They lost B.J. Upton. I think a lot will come down to the health of Longoria and Desmond Jennings, their young infielder, is going to really have to pick up the pace. So I really don't. If I gun to my head, I'd probably say Yankees second. Tampa third, Boston fourth, Baltimore fifth, but, you know, really those four teams just intertwingle them anywhere you want.
It's going to be interesting for sure, and I'm really looking forward to this season and seeing, especially in September, if all these four, five teams are as close as we think they're going to be, how exactly the division and the wild card seed is going to shape up.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to make it should really make for an interesting year. I really think so too. So it'll be fun to watch.
Well, Adam, thanks very much for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate it, and your insight is always welcome. We'll have to get you on again.
No problem, guys. Thanks very much. And, you know, as I mentioned, I appreciate being on the show. And anytime you need someone to ramble on for a bit, just give me a holler. I don't mind talking about baseball. It's certainly a passion.
Certainly a passion is right, and you're very good at it. Well, thanks very much, and we'll talk to you soon, Akon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care.
So we heard his AL East projections. What about yours? How do you see this division finishing up?
I'm not 100% completely convinced on the Toronto Blue Jays just yet, Jeremy.
Convinced on them making the playoffs or as a team in general?
Just as a team in general. I think, you know, being the way they are and the type of team that they are, they haven't gelled yet. I'm still skeptical, especially how Miami turned out last year. People were raving that, oh yeah, Miami's going to win the World Series, no question. They didn't have the greatest, you know...
I don't know if they had as great of a support staff as the Jays do. I mean, obviously they had Stanton, but the Jays have Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, J.P. Arencibia, Brett Laurie. They have, I'd say, more pieces to the puzzle than Miami did. And Miami was put in a very interesting environment, you know, with the new stadium, new coach, new jersey. There was a lot of hype about them, where I think it's different for the Jays just because they have some of the older veterans. But I also think, like you said, chemistry might be a big difference. I think having the World Baseball Classic, while it took some of the Jays away from the team in spring training, I think it will actually benefit them by having some of their players go. I mean, you had Jose Reyes with Edwin Encarnacion playing for Team Dominican.
But spring training means nothing. You know, at the end of the day, Jays finished first place last year with like 100 gazillion wins. And then
I think
this
it was
year,
like 27, but sure.
But then like this year, they're middle of the pack, whatever, and that's okay. There doesn't need to be as much emphasis put on spring training as there was in previous years.
Exactly. I completely agree. But the rest of the division, I think Tampa's going to be either first or second. I don't think the Orioles are for real. I don't think they can repeat last year's success. I think Boston will be average. I think they'll be a 500 team. And the Yankees, you never know. They could have the worst lineup in baseball and still win the division because of the Yankees, and I'm not ready to put that franchise in last place.
My order, I guess, if to answer your question fully, my order, Blue Jays, Yankees, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Red Sox.
Wow.
Akon's going to kill me.
Wow. Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to put the Jays in first, even though I'm not comfortable doing that. I'm going to say Jays, Rays, Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees.
Yankees in last?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think they... I think they'll have a decent season, but I don't know.
But it's interesting to say that, too.
They have a lot of injuries. They're just...
Well, Teixeira is injured to start out the year. He won't be
back
until...
He might miss the entire season.
There's that chance. And even when he does come back, he's the type of player that is slow to start out off the gate. He doesn't usually get going until the start or mid-May. So, and if he's just going to be starting the season in mid-May or later, then that's going to be even tougher for him to get going.
I think the Yankees are a CC Sabathia injury away from being any sort of competitive.
Yep, that's fair enough. All right, let's move our attention now. We're wrapping up the AL East, and now we're going to move on to the American League Central Division. Last year, I saw the Detroit Tigers make it all the way to the World Series. Justin Verlander just dominant. So, Jeremy, are they poised to dominate once again?
Well, yes. The simple answer is yes. I think they're going to win the division, and I don't think it'll be extremely close compared to last year, where they really struggled out of the gate, and that kind of killed them in terms of, you know, clinching the division. I don't think this division is terribly strong, so I think they will walk away with it. And you have Prince Fielder, Victor Martinez is now back.
Yeah,
that rotation 1-4 is one of the best in baseball. Scherzer, Fister, Verlander, Sanchez. There's a lot of weapons on that team. I think they'll win the division handily, but I think a team you have to watch in that division is the Cleveland Indians. I think they will surprise. You know, they picked up Max Swisher, Michael Bourne, Trevor Bauer. I think that team will challenge the Tigers for the first place in the division. I don't think they'll be successful in winning the division. So I think it'll be Tigers, Indians, and then it doesn't really matter after that.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I was talking last night with a colleague of ours with the Rochester Rams, Brad Hutchison, and maybe a future guest on our show.
Hopefully.
And he was saying about Scott Kazmir and comparing him to Ricky Romero. And I think that's a fair comparison. Scott Kazmir, now named the fifth starter for the Cleveland Indians, just making his way back. And how many years did it take him? He sort of fell off the face of the earth after his fallout with the Tampa Bay Rays. But I do think the Cleveland Indians are going to be an interesting team. And they're Grady Sizemore-esque now. They don't have him anymore. He's a free agent. And, you know, I think a lot of people relied on Sizemore as the backbone of this team for a lot of years. And now that he's not with them, it's going to be interesting to see how they keep up. But then again, they never really had him the last 3 or 4 years anyways.
They also have a pretty good catcher in Carlos Santana. He can kind of do a lot of things with the bat. I also think an interesting team in this division is the Kansas City Royals. You know, they're trying to start to make some moves. They got Shields in the offseason. I don't know how much it'll help. I mean, I can see them having one of their best seasons in the last 10 years, but I don't think they're at that level yet to compete for the division.
It will be interesting, though, because Kansas City is just one of those teams that had a pretty hot start last year, and whether they'll be up there again this year or not. Also, another interesting team is the Minnesota Twins. You know, they have Justin Morneau that's back and healthy.
He did extremely well in the World Baseball Classic.
He did for Team Canada, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this division plays out. But my pick for the division is definitely the Detroit Tigers. They're just going to run away with this one.
AL West, one of the most interesting and powerful divisions in all of baseball. You have the Texas Rangers, who have been more than one of the best, one of the best teams in baseball the last, I'd say, 4 years. Then you have the Anaheim Angels, who continue to make splashes in free agency this offseason, signing Josh Hamilton to go along with Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. You know, average players, you could say.
Yep.
And then you have the Seattle Mariners this year, who are a decent team. You know, they've got Felix Hernandez, and every time you have a pitcher of that caliber, they can make some noise. You also have the division champs in the Oakland Athletics. No one saw that coming last year. And then you have that new kid on the block, the Houston Astros. They're going to have an unfortunate season, I'm guessing, playing with the other teams in the AL West.
Yeah, Houston's just going to get blown out of the water. And really, there's no really point for a turnaround unless there's rumors of Nolan Ryan going to the Houston Astros to help out their franchise work out.
Well, there are at least 10 players in the Major League Baseball, I don't know why I said the Major League Baseball, in Major League Baseball, that have higher salaries than the Houston Astros as a team. And when you're trying to be a competitive ball club, that's probably, while those players' salaries are obviously inflated, I don't know if that's a good thing when you want to compete in baseball. But let's kind of leave the bottom sellers, the dwellers, out of this. And who's going to win this division? I mean, you have the Los Angeles Angels, who added Josh Hamilton to that extremely powerful lineup, but a lineup that didn't make the playoffs last year. You have the Texas Rangers, who, while they lost Hamilton, are still competitive. And then you have the Oakland Athletics, a team that will continue to be disrespected, even though they won the division last year.
I'm still going to have to disrespect the Oakland Athletics. You know, they have a couple good pitchers in there, and don't get me wrong, they are very strong. But I felt a large majority of their wins last year came off Bartolo Colon's arm. And he was very good for them for the better part of the year, until he got caught for steroids. And then after that, it sort of felt like their ship sort of sunk a little bit. Now, one player that you're going to have to look for in order for them to be good is, you know, Cespedes, again, in left field. And if Josh Reddick can keep up his strong season from last year as well, he was very strong for Oakland. Now, they're not a team that's going to overpower you. They're not a team that's going to outpitch you. They're just going to be smart and win in a smart manner. I'm going to be interested to see how they turn out, but I would have them projected as finishing second, Texas third, and then the Angels first.
So you think Josh Hamilton puts the Angels over the top? They struggled last year. I mean, Pujols got off to a terrible start.
With that said, though, I mean, Hamilton's getting a little bit old, isn't he? You know, he's getting up there in age. He diminished there a little bit last season near the end, but then again, he had those monster months.
But he also won't have to do as much for the Angels as he had to in Texas. But another thing is Mike Trout obviously had the unbelievably stellar first season and possibly should have won MVP. But we've seen players have incredible first years, and then we've had players that have struggled mightily in their second season. Mike Trout seems like a phenom and probably someone who might not have, you know, the second year struggles. Will he be the same player as last year?
Yes. Yeah. Not without a doubt in my mind. He has the leadership there in Anaheim that can help him. You know, he has guys like Pujols who has been in the same position as he has. He has guys like Hamilton who has dealt with a lot of craze after one season and then continued the success on. He's got a good group of core guys there to help lead him and keep his spirits high, even if he does fluster a little bit out of the gate. I don't see him failing.
Fair enough. So we move from the AL to the NL. We're going to start with the NL East, a division that was pretty much dominated by the Nationals, Washington Nationals. And this year, they made some pretty good moves in the offseason, signing Rafael Soriano, Dan Heron, Denard Span. But I think maybe their biggest move is their lack of restriction on possibly the most powerful pitcher in baseball in Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, you know, Strasburg came back a couple years ago after having Tommy John surgery, and then he came back last season, was restricted due to the amount of innings because of that surgery and because he was still so young. And, you know, the Nationals really wanted to baby him. And I think that's ultimately what led to them being eliminated from the postseason. It's unfortunate that they were eliminated because I had them penciled in, you know, to go all the way to the NLCS because they were just that strong of a group and because they were that good. I think with Strasburg, his no inning restriction, I think with the guys on their team motivated to, you know, play for Davey Johnson in his last season as manager, it's going to be good. I think they're going to have another really good team. I think Bryce Harper is going to be phenomenal again.
No second year slump for him,
absolutely not. And then Ryan Zimmerman, and then you have Jason Worth coming back. They're going to be very strong. I think they're going to be very strong, and I think they're going to make a case for once again the National League East title.
So Atlanta made some moves in the offseason as well. You've got Upton here and Upton there,
and then sandwiched in between Jason Hayworth.
That's not a bad outfield. Are the Uptons going to put them over the top? Are they going to be able to challenge the Nationals for a division or just a wild card spot?
I've never really liked B.J. Upton.
Okay.
I don't know. What about you?
I have no problem with B.J. Upton. I like his type of player. You know, he gets on base. He steals. He's a good defender. I think he's an exciting player to watch, but he has had some struggles in the past.
But I don't know. His attitude, I think, might have been an issue a little bit in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And that's fair, but when you have a guy now like his brother being there, I think that was a great acquisition by them. I think that was awesome. I think he's going to really thrive in the Atlanta atmosphere, bring out the old tomahawk again. So, I don't know. I think their outfield is phenomenal, but I think a big question mark might be their pitching a little bit. You know, you had Chris Medlin last year, who was unreal as a pitcher for them, and Tim Hudson's getting up there in age. That's my
Tim Hudson's concern. Great. I love Tim Hudson for some reason. Man crush on Tim Hudson. I think he's a great pitcher.
So, like, where do you predict that they end up then?
I think they'll finish second. I think it'll be the Nationals, then the Braves. We'll say Phillies, then Mets, then Marlins, I guess. I mean, I don't think the Phillies will be as good as they could be, even when they have Hamels, Lee, and Halliday's really struggled this offseason, but he's been injured. I know he had the flu, so we'll have to see if the doc can be fixed. But
Philadelphia's going to be one of those sleeper picks, I think, Jeremy.
Yeah, you can't really count them out.
No,
but
absolutely
I don't think you can really put them in the hat for winning the division.
No, and I don't think
even if Ryan Howard is back and healthy, like 100%, I feel like their time has passed.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. They're definitely an older team. And
Atlee's always hurt. Rollins is always hurt. it's just they have a good squad in names. Right now, the names the last 2 years haven't produced, and a lot of that has had to do with being so injured.
I'll be interested to see, though, if their season does fluster in Philadelphia, if they bring up Dominic Brown, or if they bring Dominic Brown into lineup.
And they've really been yanking him up and down. I mean, it's been a lot. It's been very similar to the Travis Snyder kind of debate here in Toronto.
Yep.
Bring him up for 10 games. Oh, you're not doing this. Send him down. And I don't understand that because, one, he's a very good player. And two, Philadelphia seems like an organization that doesn't treat their prospects so poorly. And I think Dominic Brown's really just struggled, and he might just need a change of scenery. But I would love to see him fit in Philadelphia, and I think he could, and maybe it's this year, because they have, I mean, they lost Victorino last year at the trade deadline. Their outfield could use some pop.
Yep, and I guess time will tell if that pop will come. Moving on now to the National League Central Division. Last year we saw the Cincinnati Reds take this division quite handedly. 9 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals, finished with a record of 97-65. Jeremy, you like the Reds.
I love the Reds. I think they're just going to kill it this year. You've got Votto, Brandon Phillips, Jay Bruce. You traded for Shin-Soo Choo, Matt Latos, Cueto, Chapman, whether he's going to be a starter or reliever. I think he would be a great starter, but having that fire out of the bullpen, if you can stretch him out to maybe 2-3 innings a game, have him as your 7, 8, and 9 guy. That's basically like having a starter who's throwing 100 for 3. It's just, that'd be incredible. I don't know if they want to use his arm like that. I just think this team is hitting their stride at the right time, and I think this year they will challenge the Nationals for a World Series berth.
The Nationals? Okay.
I think it'll come down to the Nationals and Reds in the NL. You can't count anyone out in the NL West, really, mostly the Giants and Dodgers, but we'll get to that in another division. But I think the Reds will be one of the top 3 teams in baseball this year.
Now, what about Milwaukee? You know, they struggled last season a little bit, and now they just recently signed Kyle Loesch after he was... I definitely thought he should have been signed earlier in the offseason.
People didn't want to lose the first-round draft pick, yeah. And because of that, Milwaukee forfeits, I believe it's the 10th or 11th pick. Anyway, one, that's an unfortunate thing to see because Kyle Loesch is a pretty good pitcher. Milwaukee's kind of in that weird place where they're like, oh, we have a decent bunch of players, but I don't think they can seriously contend for a division title, especially when they have the Cardinals and Reds in their division. And also, I think the NL Central will kind of, their records won't be as good just because of having the loss of Houston. Houston leaving that division will deflate some of their win totals.
Even with that said, though, I feel as though Pittsburgh Pirates, they finished 79-83 last year. They had a great start to the season.
That's the past 2 seasons, right? They've had a great start, and everyone goes, oh, Pirates are going to make the playoffs. Yay! Oh, Pirates are doing Pirate things and don't finish.
But I don't know. I feel as though this year, with Andrew McCutchen as seasoned as he is now, that they will finish second in the division.
So you think that the Pittsburgh Pirates will finish ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yep.
A team that's been to the World Series, a team that has veteran leadership.
With the loss of Loesch in their starting rotation, they have Jamie Garcia now, and I don't know, I'm not a whole lot comfortable else with their starting rotation after Jamie Garcia.
Fair enough. How about the team that is they're lovable losers, the Chicago Cubs? They're just going to finish last, or are we just going to settle on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like the Cubs. I don't like... And then they lost Dempster, and Lily's really old. They have Matt Garza, but...
He'll probably be traded.
They have some prospects, but it's really tough for Theo Epstein to turn around a franchise that has been so shitty for the last so many years, you know? My guess is that they do finish last.
Fair enough. So we'll go from the end... NL Central to the NL West. You have teams like the San Francisco Giants, defending World Series champions, two times in the last 3 years. You have the Los Angeles Dodgers, who now like to spend a lot of money all of the time. You have Arizona Diamondbacks, who are a good team. They're kind of on the cusp of being really competitive and just a good, solid baseball team. And then you have, Padres and Rockies, who are probably not going to be super competitive in
your
this division this year.
Your hometown boys, the San Diego Padres.
I suppose they're hometown. I don't know. I mean, Toronto's hometown, San Diego's hometown.
The joys of being a multi-citizen. Yes. A dual citizen.
Anyway, so is this division really just going to be Giants, Dodgers?
Yes. Yeah. But then with that said, you know, Arizona's one of those teams that remind me a little bit of Oakland.
Yep.
They can trade away a whole bunch of players, still have good chemistry within their guys, and be pretty good. Last year we saw with Arizona, Aaron Hill, former Toronto Blue Jay, just surge out of nowhere and hit a...
He got a nice fat contract in the offseason.
Whether he will produce after that, because he got a big fat contract with the Blue Jays and then he sort of simmered off. So it's tough to say. Arizona's going to be a sleeper pick in the NL West. Now, I can see the San Francisco Giants taking this division again. I really like Buster Posey. He's up for a nice big fat contract too. Their starting rotation is just unbelievable. You got Kane, who will, I believe, start opening day. Then you have Tim Lincecum. You have guys like Vogelson and then Madison Bumgarner. Like, where does it stop?
Don't forget Barry Zito, bro.
Hey, Barry Zito's great.
He killed it in the playoffs.
He did very well in the playoffs, and I got to see him pitch in 2010 here in Toronto. And that was the year that they won their first World Series. And Zito is old, but he's fine to be a number five starter because you don't expect a whole lot from him. He's definitely a bit of a different dude, but I think he'd be good in that number five spot, and I think they're going to be very good. Their offense still is going to be a question, though.
So the Dodgers, they have a new ownership group, and they decided to spend. Obviously, the first big move was the in-season trade with the Red Sox that brought Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, amongst others. But then in the offseason, they signed Zach Greinke to put him on that lineup. And you already have Clayton Kershaw, Matt Kemp, Andre Ethier. Is this team going to be one of those superstar teams that just doesn't come together? Or is this going to be a superstar team that clicks?
Don't forget Hanley Ramirez.
Well, he's out for 10 weeks.
But still, once he comes back,
absolutely,
still a dominant player. Still a very dominant player. And they sort of remind me a little bit of the Blue Jays. You know, mm-hmm. They have a ton of talent. They got a decent starting rotation and whatnot. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Josh Beckett. I don't really like Josh Beckett.
Does anyone like Josh Beckett?
No. Maybe Fitton.
I don't think Josh Beckett likes Josh
Fitton
Beckett.
Fitton likes Josh Beckett, though, because he sponsors them. You know, he wears their necklaces and stuff.
I don't know if that means they like him.
Well.
It just means he sells necklaces.
They give him money for it. But, I don't know. Adrian Gonzalez is going to be Adrian Gonzalez. He's going to be a consistent player for you. Biggest question I have is probably their starting rotation. Can Greinke and Kershaw carry the load? And truth be told, maybe they can. But I guess time will tell. And I'm really interested to see how the Dodgers finish up. I think they will get the wild card spot, one of the two wild card spots in the National League. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I think the Giants, just based on respect, I'm going to pick them to win the divisions. And I just think they have a good core. I think Mark Scudero just fits San Francisco extremely well. Pagan, I really like him. Pablo Sandoval has always just been, for some reason, a favorite of mine. It's probably because his nickname is Panda. Kung Fu Panda.
He's a great player, though. And last year in the playoffs, he was phenomenal.
He was, but at the same time, he always has bad off seasons and gets pretty fat and then tries to work it off. I mean, last year he kind of came into shape. This year, I've heard he hasn't had a great off season. Just injuries, weight gain, amongst other things. But I mean, when you have two World Series rings, I suppose you're allowed to take it off a little bit. The Dodgers, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling they're going to be one of those superstar teams that just doesn't quite make it yet. Greinke's already had some injury struggles. He's kind of always I don't know if he's pitched well in big markets. They have two of the worst kind of big team flops. Half the Red Sox and then some of the Marlins. I don't see it yet. Josh Beckett, I don't see him getting back to the level he was when he was starting with Boston, or you know, finishing with the Marlins. They're a good team talent-wise, but for some reason I just don't see them producing as they should.
Okay, that's fair. And
they'll still finish second in the division.
Yeah.
But
do they get one of those wild cards, Bob?
That's my question. And even the fact that they're finishing second in the division is a respect to their combined talent. I just don't think their talent as a whole will necessarily produce the way it should based on paper.
So, based on paper, who looks better, the Dodgers or the Blue Jays? And what makes the Blue Jays different so that they finish at the top of the division compared to the Dodgers?
Paper?
Because that's all it is right now.
Yeah,
for the Blue Jays.
I think
it's just paper.
I think paper, I'd still go with the Jays. And that's, I mean, you can compare Jose Bautista to Matt Kemp in terms of people staying. I don't think Josh Beckett is just going to be that great. And I think Brendan Morrow is really coming into his own and just could have a potential for maybe a Cy Young season. I mean, you saw he had 3 shutouts by the time he was injured last year, and he was the only pitcher in baseball to do that. The Brett Laurie at third, Melky Cabrera. I think there's less injury concerns on the Blue Jays. You have R.A. Dickey, so you have they're very similar teams on paper. You have a Cy Young winner on the Dodgers, and you have a Cy Young winner on the Jays. You have, you know, Josh Beckett, and then you've got Josh Johnson. You've got Zach Greinke, you got Brandon Morrow. I mean, I think their names might be more proven, but I think the names in Toronto are likely to produce more.
Bit of a bias?
Probably a very slight one, but I mean, I just think Jose Reyes will be great. I think Hanley Ramirez has a lot of potential to do as well, but I just don't know how I feel about Carl Crawford right now. I mean,
he's coming off the wrist surgery, and will he ever be that player that he was in Tampa Bay? I don't think so.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going purely on names, it's pretty much a tie. But if you're going on history in the last 2 years, here, you can have the Carl Crawford injury question, and then you can compare it to Melky Cabrera. Is he on steroids? Matt Kemp, shoulder injury. Jose Bautista, wrist injury. You've got Colby Rasmus, and for the life of me, I can't think of their Dodgers. Is it Andre Ethier?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think they'd win that battle. But, you know, Edwin Encarnacion, last year and a half, he's hit a lot better than Adrian Gonzalez. That being said, Adrian Gonzalez is...
Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, one of the best, you know, players in the air. Second base might be a question for both teams. Shortstop, again, Hanley Ramirez or Jose Reyes.
Take your pick.
Yeah. The Dodgers have kind of struggled finding their third baseman. Jays have Brett Laurie, but Brett Laurie is crazy on Red Bull all the time and likes to injure himself. So he's starting the year on the DL.
And he's a terrible base runner.
Yeah, he might settle down, but he's aggressive. And, you know, you have JPA Arencibia this year, he's looking like he's just playing really well and really just...
He's having fun of it.
He's motivated because...
Of all the haters.
The discussion has finally stopped. You know, is he the catcher of the future? No, we have to wait for Darnell. Darnell, now gone. He's, you know, in the Mets organization. JPA has all the potential in the world. I don't think he'll be, like, anything close to a Buster Posey, but I think he's a guy who can, you know, bat 7th, 8th, or 9th and be a decent defensive catcher, but someone who is a great leader for the city in Toronto. I think the pitching staffs are equal, but I give a slight edge to the Jays just because there's more experience.
Okay.
And they're very similar teams, but I don't know. I think the Jays are striking at the right time, whereas in the NL West, I think teams are rising altogether.
Okay. So we're just about done for our show here, our first ever podcast, the Jeremy and Ryan Show. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We aren't done just yet though. So, Jeremy, sleeper pick for this year. We won't get into the World Series predictions. We talked about this yesterday in our pre-show. Do we want to talk World Series predictions? I think we both decided that we don't want to. But do you have a team that's going to really surprise you this season?
I think it's the Cleveland Indians. We talked about them a little bit earlier. You know, they signed Michael Bourne, Nick Swisher. I think their pitching staff is solid. It's not amazing, but it's, you know, it'll get the job done. Carlos Santana behind the plate. Terry Francona is their new manager. I think this team has potential. I don't know how far they can go, but I think they'll be a bit of a surprise. You know, they're my sleeper team. They might steal a wild card. It'll be tough when you have, you know, the teams that are in the, well, teams that are in the AL. The AL West could potentially have three teams, and the AL East could potentially have three teams. I think the NL Central is the only team that couldn't, but I think the Indians will hover around for most of the season.
My sleeper pick is going to be the Seattle Mariners.
Okay, I like it.
Very sleeperish.
Well, sleepless in Seattle, right?
Hey, there you go. And my reasoning behind this, Felix Hernandez, it's decided he's not going anywhere. He got the big monster contract, making him the highest paid pitcher currently in baseball. That will change when Justin Verlander gets re-signed. But I don't know. I really like Dustin Ackley. Justin Smoke's going to be a guy that's going to be iffy.
Michael Saunders is going to rake this year.
He is. And then, you know, you have a guy in the minors named Mike Zunino. I'll give big props to my brother Pat for pointing him out to me. I had never heard of the guy. I was doing our fantasy baseball draft, and he's like, man, you should try to draft him. Great idea, because Zunino is starting out the year. He's just 22 years old. Not in A, not in Double A, which is usually where top prospects start out at. He's at Triple A to start the season. Just got demoted to minor league camp. If he comes up to the big league team, which I predict he will, he's going to rake. I think he's going to be the Rookie of the Year candidate, and I think the Seattle Mariners are going to be a team to be reckoned with here in the NL, or sorry, the AL West.
Well, yeah, I mean, Seattle, it's a tough division, especially if Oakland can kind of maintain the level they had last year. But I think one of the divisions most affected by this new schedule, having interleague play increase. What do you think that does for baseball fans? I mean, I know there's teams like the Blue Jays who in the past have struggled mightily playing against NL teams.
I think the general consensus last year was that not many players like the interleague play. It really throws them off, especially the pitchers. You know, you get into that rhythm of just throwing every day, and then if you have more increased interleague play, then you have to start worrying about batting and whatnot. And
that's one thing that's actually, just to kind of go kind of off topic, pitchers never bat in spring training. That's always kind of like, if you're going to bat in the season, might as well get a few reps in.
Yeah, but
anyway, continue with interleague.
Then again,
play.
I mean, when do you really ever, if you're in the American League, when are you ever really going to have your pitchers bat?
Well,
unless it's the World Series.
This year, you are going to have more opportunities to play against the NL in NL parks.
But is that really going to help teams come World Series?
Well, yeah. I mean, if your pitcher's Tim Hudson, he can hit a home run off Ricky Romero. That'd be pretty good for the Atlanta Braves.
I think anyone can hit a home run off Ricky Romero right now.
Well, that's a touchy subject, but I mean, I don't know. Again, interleague play is going to be a big factor this year, and some teams have struggled, and some teams have notoriously done extremely well. I don't know if it'll change a lot in baseball, but I think it could have a bigger effect.
It's fun. I think the biggest thing of all is it's for the fans, and it's fun to see. Whenever I saw the Giants in 2010 up here in Toronto,
and
it was fun.
And they're coming back.
And they're going to come back, and it was a lot of fun to see a team like them.
So, with interleague play, obviously the debate of should every team have DH, or should every team be, you know, have the pitcher's bat? Do you think every team should have a DH? Do you think it should just be league wide, or do you like pitchers batting?
I like pitchers batting.
Okay.
Just because it adds to the strategy that baseball is. It adds to the chess match. It makes the manager's job a lot more tougher. And I always really liked whenever Tony La Russa had his pitcher bat 8, and then he had another outfielder or another player bat 9th. I always liked that strategy, and I think it makes it tougher for teams. I think it evens things out a little bit. because both teams have to do it, right? So, I don't know. I've always liked pitchers batting, but I think it should stay the way it is. American League stay with the DH rule, and National League stay with the pitcher's batting rule, and that's what makes the two leagues distinct, and that's what makes it separate, I guess, from being just all one major league. I don't know. What do you think?
Fair enough. I like the DH, and sometimes pitchers hitting is kind of interesting, but I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it might just be easier. Well, easier, yes, to have just a DH, but you know, it's part of baseball, and everyone's supposed to bat, and let's have fun with it. We can't change it. We're not Bud Selig.
No. I think some days we wish we had his money.
Yeah, I would take his job. Yeah.
We'll see. So, Jeremy, going forward, you and I are both going to the Blue Jays home opener. You're working it for Sportsnet. I'm going to with my brother Patrick. We'll be sitting in section 241. Come say hi. Probably no one will come say hi, but at least we threw it out there anyways.
Exactly.
So, thank you very much for everyone tuning in. For Jeremy Pearl, I'm Ryan McKenna. This was the Jeremy and Ryan Show right here on the Sports Superstation. Hope everyone has a good rest of the week and enjoy opening day weekend.